Heavenly Father, let your word change us today from the people that we were to the people that you desire us to be, for the glory of your name and for the benefit of those around us. Amen. One of the commentators said, "The trouble with the story of Jonah and the whale is that we've spent too much time looking at the great fish when we should have been looking at the great God." And I think the story of Zacchaeus and Jesus is a very similar story to that. We've spent too much time thinking about this mean little ferrety man who is a swindler and a crooked official and all of that, and not enough time looking at Jesus. Because in this story, I think it's Jesus who is just quite spectacular. Shouldn't be surprised at that, I guess. But it's Jesus, really, who is the show stealer in this passage. Not Zacchaeus, not what he does at the end, but Jesus from beginning to end. And since I'm on early in the service, I thought we'd spend a bit of time on this, so I've got an 8-point sermon for you. So those of you who have a passion for writing notes, get a bigger piece of paper. That's all I'm saying. Those of you who have got potatoes on, tough luck. We'll be quick, I promise you. This is why this passage, I think, is so important when it comes to looking at Jesus, because it shows us 8 qualities of Jesus' call to those who need to hear it. 8 things about the way Jesus relates to people when he's seeking the lost that we would do well to recognize. Firstly, grace. Here we've got, as Joe so tenderly introduced him, this horrible, mean-spirited, swindling kind of guy. He's an official, and we know from our Sunday school lessons, those of us who grew up in Sunday school, that he was a tax collector, a chief tax collector, which meant that not only did he take what the treasury wanted, he also made sure he took enough for himself. And we see from a bit later on in this passage that he's going to pay back 4 times what he took that he shouldn't have done. He's been running a really great racket for a long time. Now, that means that he's powerful. It means he's manipulative. It means that he's got henchmen alongside who do the collecting, bound to have a bit of muscle behind him. It also means that when it comes to religion, he's probably playing both sides. So as a Roman official, he'll be subscribing to the cult of worshipping the emperor, as well as being a fine, upstanding member of the Jewish community, and so he'll obviously go to synagogue every now and again. He's clearly not liked, even though he's powerful, because he's not given room to stand at the front of the crowd. He has to go up a tree. Nobody makes room for him. In some senses, that's surprising because he is so powerful, but it's a mark of how disliked he is amongst his community. He's not welcomed. Nobody makes way for him. And what we see is Jesus coming along, and Jesus calls out to Zacchaeus. He notices him. He knows that he's there, and he calls out to him. Zacchaeus does not deserve this. Let's make no bones about it. He is a sinful man, a greedy man, an oppressive man, a liar. And yet Jesus, of all the people, stops in front of him. There is the grace of God. It's that love from 1 John 4 that loved us before, God loved us before we loved him. Grace. In that simple act of Jesus stopping in front of this man, we see the grace of God, the grace that we have benefited from, that you have benefited from, that anybody can benefit from. It is the nature of God at his heart to look upon those who don't deserve him and don't deserve his love and to take interest in them and to engage with them. Jesus, when he calls, offers a gracious calling to Zacchaeus. Secondly, it's a personal calling. Jesus doesn't just say to Zacchaeus, hey, you up the tree, you little fella. He says, Zacchaeus. He knows his name already. Sometimes God is portrayed as being this kind of person who is aloof, standoffish. Some people talk about him as if he's a God who doesn't really even understand them, care about them, know about them. But Jesus, as he's walking through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, notices Zacchaeus, who doesn't deserve it, and calls him by name. It's a powerful thing when somebody important knows you by name, stops and talks to you. So, it's a personal calling. We are each called personally by God. It's not the Billy Graham kind of stand in the middle of Anfield and say, if you want to know Jesus, come on down. It would be as if Billy Graham said, and you, your name is, and your name is, and you, your name, and you, your name. And each person would be called down individually. Imagine if that happened. Imagine if that happened. I feel bad when I can't remember names at the communion rail. Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name, having never met him before. And there's all those other people, aren't there, that are standing there with him. Hundreds of them. Must be hundreds in order for him to have to go up a tree to see Jesus. Jesus knows his name and calls his name, not anybody else's, but his name. Jesus knows him personally. Secondly, as he calls him, he says to him, Zacchaeus, I'm calling you because it's urgent. This is urgent, what I have to tell you. He says to him, he says to him in verse 5, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Come down immediately, right now, because I want to stay at your house today. The call that Jesus offers and that Jesus makes to people is not when you're ready. It's not, take your time, it's urgent. We none of us know what will happen tomorrow, today, before the end of this service. I never forget a chap in our last church who keeled over in the service. I didn't know what to do, didn't have a clue what to do. And I really thought that we'd lost him. So even before this service is over, who knows? Just to encourage you. Jesus says to Zacchaeus, what I've got to tell you is urgent. Don't mess about with this news. Don't take your time. The devil comes like a thief in the night. We have a message that's urgent that has to be got out. If you know somebody and you want them to know Jesus, and you're still thinking, I'm waiting for the right moment. I'll just wait for the right moment. Well, with Zacchaeus, Jesus says, the right moment is now, Zacchaeus. It's right now. It's right now. This is an urgent calling that Jesus asks, that Jesus makes to Zacchaeus, to this man he meets on the street. Fourthly, it is a humbling. Oh, connected to the cloud. It's a humbling call. Jesus says to Zacchaeus, come down. Come down. Well, admittedly, he's got to come out of the tree, so that's a fairly obvious thing. But in it also, Jesus is saying, get out of your self-imposed status. Come down here. Stop lording it over people. Stop thinking that you're better than everybody else, that you're more powerful than everybody else, that you're wealthier than everybody else, that you're better than everybody else. Come down. When Jesus calls us, he calls us to kneel. He calls us to bow before him. He calls us to recognize that he is the God of the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we should get on our knees and we should bow down. So as Zacchaeus gets down from the tree, suddenly here's this little man in the midst of a crowd. Just imagine that for a moment. How little is he? Well, he must be very little for the Bible to say that he's a little man. We watched Pointless the other day with the littlest person on. She could only just see over the top of the screen that she was standing behind. I like to think that Zacchaeus was kind of that height. And Alexander Dudar spoke for a little while to them because her husband or partner was about 6'6", seriously. And she came up to his belt. And they had a jolly good chat about that and a jolly good laugh about that. But in some respects, it was quite a humbling and demeaning moment because she was pointed out for being so little and he so tall. There is Zacchaeus. And Jesus is saying, you're only little. In the midst of all these people, don't forget you're only little. Come down. A lot of us need to come down from the place we've put ourselves on or the place that others have put ourselves. We've got professions that are important. We've got houses that are large or bank balances that are big or whatever it might be. Jesus says, come down. Come down. That's how he calls us. He humbles us. Not without the promise that we aren't going to be exalted. In John 6, verse 40, Jesus says, you will be exalted on the last day. This isn't about keeping us down. This isn't about reducing us to nothing. It's about us knowing how to be exalted properly. And when we'll be exalted. And Jesus promises that at the last, we will be exalted with him. So, fifthly, this call is affectionate. It's intimate. Jesus says to Zacchaeus when he calls him, he says, I want to come to your house today. Let me come in, he says. Take me to where's private. Take me to where nobody's been, nobody's seen. Let me know you inside. Some people, and maybe some here today, who know Jesus a little bit, just won't let him in that secret place. Just won't let him be part of that part of your world, either because you're frightened that he'll disapprove or because he'll take it away and you don't want it to go or whatever it might be. But Jesus says to Zacchaeus, let me into your counting house. Let me into your storeroom. Let me see the piles of money. Let me see how you've spent it. Let me come into your house and see what's gone wrong. Let me come into your house and see who you are. Let me come in and be your guest. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with them. When you're in a pastoral ministry like this, visiting somebody is incredibly important because you get to see how they live. You see the situation that they are in, the things that are precious to them. You see the things that they struggle with, the things that they're proud of. Jesus says, I want to come in and I want to see all of that. I want to know you fully, right to the very core of who you are. Here's a man who is probably secretive about what he has. He's probably conscious of what he's done wrong. He is probably quite safe and secure with lots of bolts on his doors. Jesus says, can we go in now? Can I come in? Sixthly, this call that Zacchaeus makes is an enduring call. When Jesus speaks to Zacchaeus, he doesn't say, nice to see you, I'm just passing through, can we catch up sometime? He says, I want to come to your house and stay. I want to stay at your house. It's not a fleeting visit. When we invite Jesus into our lives, it's not a fleeting visit. It's not something which passes. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Once we invite Jesus into our lives, he stays, he makes his home, and he's there. We invite him in, and he wants to be with us indefinitely, eternally. That's the promise he makes to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, who is surrounded by people who are his friends, because he's wealthy or perhaps because he's powerful. It may be that he surrounds himself with like-minded people who accept and don't mind that he does what he does. But I wonder how many of his friendships are genuine, or how many of his friendships would stick around if the money ran out. We see that, don't we, in the story of the prodigal son. When the money runs out, the friends disappear. Maybe Zacchaeus is frightened of that, and that's the situation he's in. Suddenly Jesus presents himself and says, let me stay. Let me be with you. Let me make my home in your heart forever. That's the call that Jesus makes to those he seeks. Seventhly, this is a necessary call. If you'd asked Zacchaeus the day before, was everything all right? Was he okay? Probably he might have said yes. He might have grumbled that his hip was a bit sore or his knee was a bit jippy or something like that, or whatever it might be. The kids were driving him mad. But he had everything. He had the money. He had the status. He had the power. But Jesus sees through all of that. This is a necessary call. Jesus knows what's going on in Zacchaeus' life. He knows where the holes are. He knows where the emptiness is. He knows where the wrongdoing is. He knows where the need is. He sees him. He knows his need. And he says to Zacchaeus, let's sort this out, shall we? Just by being loving and being open to him, just by choosing somebody who didn't deserve to be chosen, Zacchaeus knows that the Lord knows all about him. It's a necessary thing. We know it's necessary because at the very end of this passage, Jesus says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was lost. There may be parts of our lives where we feel lost, where we feel at sea, where we feel broken or we feel empty. Jesus knows that. He knows that and he says, my call to you is necessary because I see the condition of your heart, the brokenness or the sadness, the hopes that haven't been fulfilled, all of those things. Finally, and wonderfully, this call that Jesus makes to Zacchaeus is effective. Everything changes when Jesus calls him. When Jesus says, let's go and eat at your house, there's debate amongst the commentators about when actually Zacchaeus' response takes place. Is it before the meal or after the meal? Is it before they've even got to the house or after the house? Do they come out and make a big gesture to the people? And it's very difficult to work that out from the text when it happens. But it's effective. Jesus' contact with Zacchaeus changes him. Radically and dramatically, 4 times the amount that he has swindled from people, he will pay back. Well, he's swindled everybody, so he's going to be paying out an awful lot of people. But it's not just about the money that he's giving back. It's also about how it changes his status in the community. He's no longer frightening. He's likely to be no longer respected by the other tax collectors. Because there is a public admission here that fraud is going on at the highest levels. And then the finger will be pointed at them more openly. They will distance themselves from him. What will his family say when he gives away all their money and all their status? I remember a man in Leeds who I worked with, who was a businessman, saying to me, he brought home £20,000 a month. That was his take-home pay. But his family spent £25,000 a month. He said, what do I do? I'm dying in debt, but I cannot stop my family from spending in the way that they're spending because that is their life. What do I do? That would be Zacchaeus, I'm quite sure of that. The call of Jesus on his life is effective because it changes him, gives him courage to be different, sets him on a new path. Shows him what it means to live a godly life. But perhaps the most fabulous thing about all, in all of this, aside perhaps from all 8 of those characteristics of Jesus, is that this is the call that we receive. And this is the call that we are asked to make to others. We have received from Jesus a graceful call, a call to ourselves, a call that says to us, let's get on with this. Let's not miss a moment of being together. A call that says, bring yourself down and let me raise you up. A call that says, I love you deeply and want to know you. A call that says that knowing for you is forever. A call that says, don't think this isn't necessary because I see inside where the problems are. And a call that says, I will change you if you let me in. It's our call. But then Jesus says to us, now take that call out. And perhaps that's the biggest difficulty or lesson for each of us here today who is a Christian, who's asked Jesus into our lives, who've received this call, is that now we have to be people of grace. We have to be people who notice others and call them by name. That's why I make such a thing of us saying hello to new people in church. And it's making a difference. We have to recognize the urgency of telling friends and family of what Jesus can do for them. We have to not think that we're above working for Jesus. We have to not think that what he asks us to do is optional, because it isn't. We have to be humble. We have to be affectionate and care. We have to want to know about people and take an interest in people that changes their lives, that makes a difference. We have to be there and stay there and walk the journey with them, because we have to recognize if Jesus thinks it's necessary, then it is necessary. If Jesus thinks we should do it, then we should do it. Because what the message is that we have to give is the effectiveness of Christ's salvation of all our souls. Shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, thank you that you have called us in each of these ways, and we have responded to different degrees to all of them. Father, for those whose response is still no thank you, we pray for them. For those whose response is show me more because I still don't get it, we pray for them. For those of us who rejoice in what that call has meant throughout our lives, we give thanks. Father, for all of us who are called to take up your call, we pray for strength. Amen.